This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Go to myedgedrink.com and order the only energy drink I enjoy because it's delicious, smooth, and has zero aftertaste. That's my kind of energy drink. It's the Big O's choice. Make it yours. Get the Edge at myedgedrink.com.
All right, we bring you in AEW Dynamite. Goes off the air. We still got Game 5, the Heat and Celtics just started the second half. 45-44 with just under 9 minutes to go for all those that just joined in. If you're watching, you got me on. I appreciate it very much. Don't forget you can jump in on the chat. And then also you can reach out on my social medias at Sean_Stanley11. AEW Dynamite tonight. Not that bad of a show. Again, they are only days away from their Double or Nothing pay-per-view this Sunday in LA. In Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. So where it all started, they continued on some storylines. They Punk and Paige, the one thing I did find interesting was, you know, Punk kept saying, why are you taking this personal? And Hangman Adam Page finally comes out and he's like, I'm going to save AEW from you to CM Punk. And it made me wonder because on the buildup, I really thought CM Punk was going to be the heel in this feud, but now it's starting slowly to feel like Hangman Adam Page is starting to get that heelish side to him in this buildup now, as far as now. And again, they did, if you listen to what they said on the announce side, they stated CM Punk got him to fall right into the trap that he had set for him. So, again, mind games being played, but it was very interesting to hear, you know, Hangman Adam Page said, you know, he has to save AEW from CM Punk. Very interesting choice of words there. The Jericho Appreciation Society, again, they're setting up for their match. Anything goes. The only thing I understand is a fireball to a guy in the back. I mean, why? Why? If you're going to do that, then do it to somebody that might be in the match and hit the shoulder or something. Let them sell the burn on the shoulder. You don't have to hit them right in the face. But it's like, why are you wasting that on some guy in the back because he's wearing a Moxley shirt? Again, to each their own, but I just thought that was a little much to me for somebody that, you know, they're building up a match. And again, you did see them all start fighting at the end of the Moxley and at the end of the Moxley tag team match, they ended up having a whole heap of people down there and they fought to the back. We're probably going to go to about 10:30 tonight. Got an early morning tomorrow. Got some things got to do. And then, of course, we got Hylia Park tomorrow at 10. The New Japan Pro Wrestling Invasion began. Or I guess continued or began, however you want to look at it. Jeff Cobb and Great O'Khan, they struck during the Ring of Honor tag title match. Interesting, they struck during the Ring of Honor tag title match on AEW Dynamite. And it's New Japan Pro with, you know, how are you going to look at it? A lot of botches in that. They went to do a move on Dax, and that didn't go as planned. And then also they went to put Trent through a table. And it's all over wrestling Twitter. If you're on Twitter right now, you can see exactly what went down. Beretta went a little bit early on Great O'Khan, putting him through a table. And, yeah, it was what it was. Britt Baker beats Toni Storm, which I thought would happen to set up Britt Baker. It's going to be interesting to see. Is it going to be Britt Baker against Chris Statlander or Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho for the Owen Hart women's side? Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander, they will be against each other this Friday. I believe it is a live AEW Rampage this Friday. I'm not sure if they're doing it in an early time or not. So we'll have to see. If it is an early time, it's probably going to be recorded tonight. We'll know in a little bit because usually when this goes off the air, AEW Rampage is probably already being recorded if it's recorded tonight. So those will be out early. And then you saw at the end, Samoa Joe takes care of Kyle O'Reilly. So it'll be Adam Cole against Samoa Joe in the Owen Hart men's side. The pay-per-view this Sunday, it's shaping up to be pretty damn good, honestly. AEW does strong pay-per-views. Long pay-per-views, but strong pay-per-views. Overall, jump in on the chat line or hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Sean_Stanley11. Let me know what you thought of AEW Dynamite or what you think of some things going on. There's been a report, and I'm looking at it, and this is from Brad Shepard. He has the Brad Shepard Unleashed on Patreon. He said, on May 19th, I broke the news that WWE was considered moving to a different venue for Money in the Bank due to poor ticket sales. So he says, I have now confirmed they have officially decided to change the venue to MGM, the Grand, and it will be announced soon. So due to poor ticket sales, it looks like WWE is moving Money in the Bank from the Allegiant Stadium, which is the home of the Las Vegas Raiders. And the capacity at Allegiant Stadium, 65,000 fans could have went in there. Depending on the setup, they were probably going to have 45 to 50,000. I'm guessing with the setup of wrestling, probably 45 to 50,000 there. So they're going to the MGM Grand now. Now this stadium, permanent seating is 15,020. And with bleachers, it can get to 17,000. So you've gone from a, 55, 60,000 seat stadium to now you're going to a 17,000. That's a little bit more than poor ticket sales. That's very bad. And again, the one thing WWE wanted to do on some of their, they have the major four, which is your Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam. Those are your four that usually do the stadium shows. They wanted to up that and add Money in the Bank and things like that. If this report is true, so far it's going to be a failure because you're going from this is 65,000 probably for football. So for wrestling, you're looking at 55, 60, maybe a little less, but you're going to a stadium now that's holding 17. Poor ticket sales. I would say no ticket sales, probably. And then also tonight or today, if you were listening to any podcasts I listened to the Richard Deitch Sports Media podcast. If you heard that, Tony Khan was on it. And it was interesting because he went over a couple things. And one of them, actually, I'm watching game 5 right now, which the Celtics are starting to pull away a little bit right now. But one of the things he was talking about was he was at the Manny Pacquiao fight in 2012, 10 years ago. And there was the NBA playoffs, of course. And Manny Pacquiao would not come out until the final whistle blew in the game because he wanted to watch the game. So AEW Double or Nothing, if the Celtics and Heat go to 7 games, the 7th game will be played on Sunday. So during the podcast, Tony Khan spoke on that. And it's a little bit of a long clip, but I'm going to play it all for you so you can hear it. But here's what Tony Khan had to say on the Richard Deitch Sports Media podcast today. If the Heat and Celtics go to game 7 and if it will affect anything on the AEW Double or Nothing pay-per-view.
Versus Timothy Bradley. And coincidentally, that weekend, the night of the fight was Eastern Conference Finals. And lo and behold, it was the same teams playing this year. It was the Celtics and the Heat. And they had a game 7 that night. And Bob Arum and Pacquiao guaranteed the fans that the championship match would not go out to the ring before the game was over. And it was a big deal. And I was there. I went to the fight. I was at the fight, the Pacquiao versus Bradley fight. And I can attest to this. And not only that, but especially it felt probably longer to the people in the building that it was a long delay before there was any action, because from the semifinal fight to the main event, the Pacquiao versus Bradley championship match, it was felt like an hour or more. I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to research and say exactly how long it was, but in the building, it felt like it was forever. And that being said, when he finally came out, it was a big deal, but it made sense that.
Again, those tuning in, this is Tony Khan on Game 7. If there is Heat, Celtics, and AEW, Double or Nothing.
Fans at home who might be trying to watch both events, because I think nowadays you're going to have to accept there's all like, a lot of people who are buying the event might pick up a UFC or an AEW show. My good friend Dana White might. I don't know their business. But I would imagine on a Saturday, for example, when there's like a big college football game, say they might get people buying that weren't watching the prelims that come in for the big matches at the end for their big fights. And I don't think that's typical of AEW.
Right.
But there is a chance now, 10 years later, that again, the Heat and the Celtics are going to have a game 7. And this time the big ticket in Vegas instead of Pacquiao Bradley is going to be Double or Nothing 2022. And if there is a game 7,
nice.
I will make sure I've actually planned ahead. It's a scenario I was hoping I wasn't going to have to play out, but this will pay off. We're starting very early on West Coast time because it's a West Coast pay-per-view. So the pre-show last show we did Revolution, which was one of my favorite shows we've ever done. We were in Orlando at the UCF campus and we had a great pre-show. And then the pay-per-view itself was tremendous. There was a lot of action for free. You got three great matches and it was like a really good 1 hour wrestling show for the fans. And then we did our second biggest buy rate we've ever done. All of our pay-per-view shows, for those in sports media who don't know, have gone up year over year. I mentioned the Grand Slam earlier. We've got four big events. All of them year over year have done a better number than they did the year before. We've had, of the four events, they've each done three because we just finished 3 years. So this Revolution, of our dozen events, this is the second biggest event we've ever had. It was by far the biggest for Revolution we've ever had. And since CM Punk came in, we've seen a big jump in our pay-per-view business. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, and some others. And it's helped a lot.
Yeah,
the free agency, like you mentioned, and then having them mix with the great stars of AEW. So I promise, first of all, there will not be any long gap. I'm not going to hold it up. I've planned where we're going to start a little bit later in terms of when the action is going to start. And we have a little bit more in the window. So I expect the total night of wrestling is going to be very similar to what we did at Revolution. But I planned ahead in case there was a game 7. I didn't know it was going to be the Heat and the Celtics again, but I just had a feeling I was going to go back to Vegas 10 years later and it was going to be something similar. I can't believe it's the Heat and the Celtics again. I hope that one of these teams can finish it off. I don't want to upset any fans of either team. So hopefully they won't mind if I don't take a side in the Heat and the Celtics rivalry, but one of them, it would be great if they could end it in 6 games and it doesn't come to where this we're going to need to take advantage of it. But I have put it in play that we've got later. We've never, needed to take advantage of that before going longer on pay-per-view. But for the live fans, it's very early, and it's similar to what UFC and boxing do all the time as far as when they put the big fight in the ring. So I'm not going to have a long gap. We got plenty of action. It's going to be a great night. And I promise if there is a game 7, a lot of the best action will be at the very end, including at the main event, Hangman Page, the world champion, who's been so huge for us so far, who's really taking us into the future versus the biggest free agent who's ever coming to AEW, CM Punk. It is truly one of those great champion versus number one contender title fights. And there's so much on the card. So I plan to leave a lot late also, just in case. And the show also would start before if there was a game 7. So there would be some great action before the game and after the game in case anybody does end up watching it. So I'm trying to plan around it and plan the pay-per-view window. So the pre-show, as we call the buy-in, will maybe not have as much action as the last show, and the total night of wrestling have more because I plan to probably put more in the pay-per-view, but it'll be the same total amount of wrestling we've been doing. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to keep people forever, but it's a holiday weekend in particular, and the last one was not. So I think it might be even better received now. And we got huge reception is one of the best received shows we ever did for Revolution. And I think we can top it here with Double or Nothing. And not only have it be our best Double or Nothing yet, but hopefully our best event we've ever had here in Las Vegas, where it all began for us.
So there was Tony Khan talking about if there was a game seven, how he would kind of format the pay-per-view. And what I find interesting is, I mean, so I thought tonight after hearing that, I would hear, you know, maybe, I guess, some of the matches that are being added to the card, maybe some of the Owen Hart or even the Trios match with Death Triangle and House of Black. Maybe those originally would have been scheduled on the buy-in, and instead they're moving them to the main card so you can push up and give. I guarantee you, you're going to see some long matches in the Jericho Appreciation Society. That 10-man match, I guarantee you they're going to get a lot of time. The Trios match, probably going to get a lot of time. The Triple Threat Tag Team match might get a lot of time. And again, I think they're probably going to have those on during. I want to see what time this game ends tonight, because that's going to be a little bit of a measuring stick. Because remember, pay-per-views usually go, the AEW one started 8. So they usually go to close to midnight. Again, they already said they've already got the extra time so they can go over. But again, and it is Memorial Day weekend. So you have Monday. Some people have Monday off. Not everybody, but some people do have Monday off. So again, could they go a little bit longer? Yes. And it's going to be interesting because, again, right now we're sitting at 3:55 to go in the third quarter, and you're looking at 10:20. So you probably got about a good, so I would say maybe about 11:15, you might have, you know, the title match going on, I guess, because, again, how much do they save for after the game's over? Because he said he's going to have matches once the game ends and then also before the game, because they are starting at 7 with the buy-in. But the pay-per-view is not going on until 8. So again, he says he wants to start the action a little later. So maybe 7 to 7:45, you have the buy-in match, which is Hookhausen against Tony Nese and them. So we'll have to see which way they go with that. I just found it interesting that, you know, he sat there and thought about this just because 10 years ago he was in the crowd as a fan. And again, he says he's a wrestling fan and that's the way he books. And to hear him kind of discuss it and be already, you know, I guess looking at the schedule to see, okay, what conflicts? Because sometimes I don't think that that's done enough, you know. And again, a lot of the WWE's moving to Saturday on some of their pay-per-views this year. AEW normally does Saturday. I think they're doing this one on Sunday because, again, it is a Memorial Day weekend. So, but to hear him sit there and talk about it, because this is what happened to him when he went to a live event in Las Vegas, Manny Pacquiao and Bradley. Pacquiao would not come out until the game was over. And it just so happened it was Celtics and Heat. And now here we are 10 years later, and the same thing might happen. But this time he's running the company and he's running the show. So he's already planning for it. You know, again, as much as I, you know, try to figure out with Tony Khan and AEW what they're going to do with this roster, there's a lot of bright spots on some of the things that he thinks as far as, you know, ahead in the company and toward the fans. You know, he knows fans are going to be, well, especially if it's a game seven, you know, they're going to be tuned into that, especially, you know, again, if it's a close game at the end, they'll be there. If it starts getting, you know, blowout one way or the other, maybe they start moving some of the matches around and seeing what they can do. Interesting thing there. So if you want to hear that again, of course, you can rewind the podcast and hear that. Another thing I thought was interesting because, again, for those that don't know, Richard Deitch does the sports media podcast. And he kind of gets into, you know, ratings and things like that. He also touched on the Time Warner merger. And Tony Khan said when they're in Los Angeles, Time Warner and Discovery, the whole merger, executives are coming out to Los Angeles to kind of do a get together or a meeting and a meet and greet and learn about AEW and who they are. So some people are saying that's not a good thing. Some people are saying that's a good thing. So however you want to read into it, but it was, he did announce that today during the podcast because he was asked, you know, with the new executives, what does that mean for AEW? He said, well, we're going to have a meeting. As a matter of fact, I'll announce it on your show. And they have a meeting in LA next Wednesday. They're at the forum. And then they will meet with the executives. And then we'll see where it goes from there with the Discovery Time Warner merger. One of the other things that I thought was interesting, he talked about viewership numbers and some other things there on what they mean to him and which ones he pays attention to. And this was his answer. And I thought it was interesting just because once this clip is over, I want to expand on some of the things that he says.
And you talked about viewership. And so this is very important, obviously, to you. It's very important to your company. Traditionally in wrestling, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the only thing, but traditionally in wrestling, there's been so much importance placed on how your television viewership is, how you do in the 18 to 49 demo, which is obviously a very important demo when it comes to media buyers buying in your product. It's not the only thing. You should be, I think, measured on how you do on pay-per-views, even how things like how you do on Google search, how you do on YouTube views. But there's a bit of an obsession in the industry when it comes to television viewership. So let me ask you a couple of questions sort of surrounding that. How do you consume AEW's television metrics? And what do you personally consider to be the most important metric for viewership when you are evaluating how your business is doing?
Well, we receive ratings reports from Warner Brothers Discovery. And for me personally, and for AEW as a business, the most important metric is the metric that our network bosses value. And in this case, Warner Brothers Discovery puts a high emphasis on the 18 to 49 demographic. Every viewer is very important. So we get the P2, which for everybody that doesn't follow that ratings metric, that's just everybody's in the P2, and that's all ages, everybody. And then you get specific breakdowns, different ages and gender breakdown, different things. And one thing that they focus on at the very top, really the top line of the report, is overall 1849 people. And AEW fares very well. It's often number one show on Wednesdays, and we've ranked at or near the top on Fridays as well. Both shows did very well this past week and in weeks past. We're up significantly year over year for Dynamite, and Rampage is not even a year old. It's a new show and has done really well as a second show. And we've gotten these reports every single week. We've not had a Wednesday off since 2019. We've had a couple time shifts where it wasn't on Wednesday, to be fair, but we've done Dynamite every single week since Christmas 2019. And it's done very, very well for us in the network. And now it's interesting being on cable because a lot of linear networks are seeing us beating them. Like TBS and TNT have had shows where they've filled like five of the top 10 slots, not just on cable, but also including broadcast with the NBA playoff coverage and AEW Dynamite on a Wednesday, where we've had four of the top nine spots just with the three NBA and the AEW, where we're beating tons of network shows on the big network. So it's interesting. Wrestling programming on cable from us and our competitor is often at the near the top of the night in the demo, not only on network, but our cable shows are faring very well too. And that holds up for AEW. And like I said, with Dynamite on TBS, we've seen great numbers this year, and we're up significantly year over year. And the growth of Dynamite since it launched led to a second show with Rampage. So for me, like I said, the most important number for AEW and me personally is what Warner Brothers Discovery values, which so far has been 18 to 49. And if they ever want to value something else, then that's what we'll do.
All right. So looking at those ratings, okay, I went back through and I found on January 5th of the new year, they were over 1.01. In January 26th, they reached a high of 1.1. February 9th, they actually reached a high of 1.129. since then, it has slowly went down. Are they over last year's? Yes. So their audience has grown year over year. But when you look at it weekly, April 6th, they were at 0.989. And in this last week, actually May 4th, it went down to 0.83, which is one of the lowest numbers they've had in a while. Then it went back up to 0.84. And then last week, it was sitting at a 0.92. This is the 18 through 49. I'm sorry, this is overall. 18 to 49, they're at 0.33. So overall, they have gone from a 0.43 to a 0.33. They've dropped a tenth of a percent on 18 to 49. So overall, I'm not going to say they're right. Tony's right on the fact that what he says, they have increased year over year. And on Wednesdays, they are one of the highest. As a matter of fact, a couple Wednesdays, they led up until the NBA playoffs. So he's not wrong there. So it's very interesting to see, you know, and again, I spoke about it a little bit, you know, a couple shows ago where it's not the same as what it used to be during the Monday Night Wars. You're not going to get a 0.43 by Raw and a 0.46 by AEW. Those days are long gone. And I found it interesting with Richard Deitch when he said, you know, he thinks you should figure in your, I think overall as a company, yes, you figure in those numbers, your pay-per-views, your buy rate, you know, your merchandise sales, all that stuff means something. But to the TV, you know, the TV rights and everything, it's going to be those numbers. In 18 to 49, the reason they put that in is because that's usually where the money is. It's usually where the money is. And also those, most of those fans, you know, and there was another interesting thing that was brought up was he was asked about, you know, wrestling and the way it is. And he also said, you know, what I've said here is WWE's already been around for 40 something years. You know, WWF, WWE has been around for 40 years. They're on their third year. Is everything, you know, going great? No. But he is, you know, he's not afraid to, you know, speak his mind. I would love to have asked him more about the wrestling side. And they got more into the wrestling side than I thought they would because, again, Richard Deitch is more about the media and how media affects some of the company. And it was a very good podcast. I recommend if you have a chance to listen to it because he does talk about Urban Meyer as well for those sports fans. He's asked about him. He doesn't really talk a lot about Urban Meyer. But he's asked about Urban Meyer because, again, remember, he's co-owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And right now we're going to the fourth quarter. The Boston Celtics up 69-58 over the Miami Heat. And we'll go to the fourth quarter at about 10:30. Again, I'm watching the time because of what Tony Khan stated about the pay-per-view and the heavyweight title match not going on until after Game 7, if there is a Game 7, is complete. So, again, I want to thank everybody that's been on tonight. I appreciate you. When you download the podcast, let me know what you thought. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, at Sean_Stanley11. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Let's go Heat. And in the words of the great Gordon Solie, so long from the Sunshine State.